Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people want to make friends? I'm just trying to make you some money. My job is not just to entertain you, but to educate and teach you, so call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. It's not just a reopening. It's a reopening in a country that is flush with cash. On a day where the Dow slipped 267 points, S&P shed 0.85%, and the NASDAQ, well, it only went down 0.56%.
The House of Pain.
You got to remember that shopping is America's national pastime. Never changed, even during the pandemic. And we've got to focus on that on an otherwise nasty day, or else we'll lose sight of how to make money here. You see, you just can't stop an American consumer. A pandemic can't stop an American consumer, especially one with a clean balance sheet and a desperate hankering to leave the house. Yep, after over a year of house arrest, we're finally scot-free. But Wall Street doesn't get it. They don't get it because most money managers are incredibly out of touch with the everyday American. We keep getting tremendous retail numbers, yet these multi-billion dollar managers can't figure out what's going on. For example, they can't imagine that people would be eager to go to Walmart, even though that's the first destination for hundreds of millions of shoppers. However, if these money managers ever bothered to visit a Walmart, they would know that we're seeing a massive amount of spending on groceries, apparel, and leisure items at these clean, bright stores, well-supplied and well-kept. Walmart did well on hard lines. They did well on seasonals. It's the place where people go when they've got some money, but they don't want to break the bank. Most Wall Street guys can't get their head around this because the industry's full of just terrible snobs. They would rather be caught dead than in a Walmart. Just as important, unlike most retailers we've heard from its earnings season, there was no belly aching from Walmart about its supply chain or rising costs that they can't pass on to the consumer. Hey, Walmart's got tremendous scale. This is when it matters. It immunizes them against many of these problems. Now, I know the stock of Home Depot got hit today because while it reported some amazing same-store sales numbers, there were too many analysts who didn't like what's called the cadence of the quarter, the way it went from month to month. Management also let slip that May is a little weaker than the previous months. Ooh, that's bad. May is a big gardening month. So it didn't seem to matter that the same-store sales were up 31%, a staggering number. Of course, that number was considered somewhat inflated because of the ridiculous escalation in the price of lumber, which has since begun to come down. Listen, I get it. Today we got a weaker-than-expected housing starts number, down 9.5%. That ruined the housing narrative. Paint was weaker, too, according to Home Depot. But I don't think that reflects genuine weakness in the consumer. I just think we're seeing an important pivot from people spending their money on remodeling to people spending their money on everything else. We also got some numbers from Macy's. The same store sales were good, but the real focus for me was the best performing segment. Luggage. Yeah, luggage. Americans are going places again. They're also buying jewelry and watches and perfume. Now, you can focus on the stocks or the stores themselves. I think Walmart down 10 points from its highs is a gift for you. I suspect the analysts who, again, are not drawn to Walmart maybe didn't realize how important the millions of vaccines offered there would be to luring in shoppers. I expect many upgrades in the next coming days. Listen, you underestimate Walmart at your own peril. 2 weeks ago, I went to my local Walmart for a fishing pole, and I came back with jackets, hats, boots that were so good and so cheap that I couldn't believe my eyes. You know what it was like shopping in Walmart? It was like going to a foreign country with an incredibly weak currency and just walking aisle to aisle till your cart's filled, and then you get to pay with powerful greenbacks at the register. On top of that, for weeks on end, we've heard that Walmart's e-commerce division was doing poorly. Turns out that was dead wrong. Walmart proved today that there's room enough for both Bentonville and Amazon. How else can you play this resurgence? Have luggage will travel. I've got three ideas for this one. Norwegian Cruise Lines, yes, which finally got the CDC to check off on cruising. That pent-up demand here is enormous, and the stock's still way down, even as it's had to take on a ton of debt. Second, Las Vegas is a natural place to go now that we can travel again and don't need all sorts of passports to go to places with multiple PCRs. Vegas can work. There I like Wynn Resorts. Why? We had them on last week. They seem to know what they're doing. Third, I like Disney now. It's been de-risked by the alleged shortfall in Disney Plus subscribers and a conference call that made me feel like, maybe my trust should have sold. Don't get me wrong. Disney Plus is important, but it's not as important as theme parks, movies, and cruise ships going back to normal. Hey, speaking of movies, you might think AMC's run too much because it's a meme stock that's being manipulated upward by the Wall Street Bets crew. I disagree. I think AMC's up because it's safe to go back to the movies again. This is the last man standing. Oh, by the way, the Wall Street Bets people want to prove that they can drive the stock to the 20s, and they're crazy enough to do it. Next up, the strength in fragrance. Ulta Beauty reports next week. You can play Ulta. Just a second. I think Estee Lauder's even better. We just bought more from my charitable trust. You can do that by find out why we did by joining the ActionAlertsPlus.com club. Again, like Wynn, Norwegian Cruise, and Disney, its stock is down. I'm giving you stocks that are down because those are the better opportunities. Finally, I want to highlight one that really got taken to the woodshed yesterday, Airbnb, which told a great story in its conference call for everything except for international, but then unleashed about 155 million shares, a huge amount. So the stock just got crushed yesterday. I think you have to buy some now while the offering is still settling. The smart institutions know to buy this one, and when it's down and out, maybe because money managers actually use Airbnb, they will buy some. Now, I know today was hard to read. We had rallies in many Wood stocks, the high growth names beloved by Kathy Wood, the redoubtable money manager whose name is synonymous with a certain kind of incredibly overvalued stock. When I talk about the Wood stocks, I mean stocks like Palantir, Zoom Video, Unity Software, and a bunch of other very expensive tech names. The cybersecurity place caught fire, too. Another expensive group that tends to go up when commodity prices go down, like lumber and oil did today. This market certainly works in strange ways, doesn't it? Oh, and of course, AT&T. AT&T was down again, as their executives and board members are accusing the widows and orphans and grandmas who own the stock of being foolish short-term thinkers. Yeah, because they don't want the dividend to get resized. I wish AT&T would just admit they screwed up when they bought Time Warner. But corporate America hates admitting fault. No one ever makes them except for maybe here. Bad executives cover for each other all the time. You know, they laugh all the way to the bank. That's exactly what's happening here. Now, I'm not saying the people who run AT&T are snickering at their shareholders between sips of Dom Perignon and Wellfleet oysters. I would never say that. That menu's too tasteful. If AT&T management is snickering at you, they'd be doing it over Cristal and Malpex. Trust me. But the big story today is the simple acknowledgement that many Wall Street analysts and money managers are totally out of touch with the American consumer or those who seek income like stocks like they mistakenly did from AT&T. The Wall Streeters have no idea what tens of millions of people are doing with their stimulus checks, not to mention all the money they've saved up over the last 15 months because there's been very little to spend it on. The bottom line, the baton is now being passed from the stay-at-home names to the travel and leisure plays. I think it's not too late to bet on the transition, especially since Wall Street's been so behind the curve when it comes to the real story. If you want to take the pulse of this market, all you have to do is go to the mall or the nearest shopping center or just Walmart and see what regular people are doing with their money. It's not that hard, unless you're the kind of snob who refuses to set foot inside a Walmart and are much the worse for it. Alan in Florida, Alan.
Jimmy Chill, I have a number one seed, 76ers, booyah to ya.
Well, that's a correct appellation, but that's 7 and 9 and 8 and 10. I don't know. I got to go back and take calculus to figure out who we're going to play. What's going on?
Well, yesterday, AppHarvest announced their global growth strategy. They're going to continue to build massive indoor greenhouses that utilize robotics, artificial intelligence, and proven ag tech software, But now they're also going to license out their ag tech operating system to indoor farms all over the world. AppHarvest team will serve as the control center to help manage the technology for farms that would not otherwise have the required expertise. This would allow thousands of indoor farms to use the best ag tech technology. Is this new licensing model a game changer for AppHarvest?
Well, I think the problem is, of course, that this is a crowded area now. There are a lot of companies doing what they're doing. I think it's okay. We had one on just last night. Hi, Farm. And here's my problem with it overall. I think that it's a great idea, but we need to have more states legalize and legalize now. And I don't think you're going to see a bunch until later on in the year. So I keep your powder dry. I want to go to Jeff in Texas. Please, Jeff.
Booyah from Texas.
Booyah, Jeff.
Love the show. Love the enthusiasm.
Sure trying. What's up?
One of my largest positions is in Boeing. I have been buying on the dips with an average price of $225, but I haven't heard any news of significance lately.
I think it's going to be a bad quarter. My Chapel Trust owns it, but I think it's going to be a bad quarter. Why? Because the execution is so terrible that, you know, who's going to buy a plane when the plane is sidelined? So Boeing has to get their execution down. They have to, or the next quarter is going to be bad too. But Chapel Trust owns it, taking a little bit of a beat down here. Going to stick with it, probably goes lower and then goes higher. All right, the baton is now being passed from the stay-at-home names to the travel and leisure plays. And I've got to tell you, please, go to a Walmart. You will be quite surprised. The grocery aisle, by the way, is fresh as can be. I'm Anybody Tonight. I'm sitting down with the CEO of Raytheon after the company's investor day to find out if the company can defend your portfolio. And what does the market's fear index tell us about its next move? Tonight, I track down the technicals to find out what's to come. And amid the broader rally for retail stocks over the course of the past 6 months, one of those remarkable moves has come from Signa Jewelers. The CEO joins me tonight, so stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As we get ready for the world to go back to, say, near normal, the airlines have started placing some orders for new planes to handle the coming boom in travel. And that's been fabulous for all things aerospace, including Raytheon Technologies. That's that company created when United Technologies merged its aerospace and defense business with the old Raytheon a little over a year ago. Today, the company held its investor day where Raytheon issued some excellent long-term forecasts. Now they're talking about 6-7% compound annual revenue growth coupled with massive margin expansion. Given the terrific guidance we got when the company reported last month, I think this is an amazing story, and I'm glad the stock pulled back a bit so you can get into it. So let's take a closer look with Greg Hayes, the CEO of Raytheon Technologies, to hear his investor day pitch directly. Mr. Hayes, welcome back to Mad Money.
Good afternoon, Jim. How are you, sir?
I am good, Greg, and I hope you're the same.
Always.
I am looking at a series of projections you made, and you either, despite the pandemic, despite all the crazy things that are going, either affirmed or raised every goal and gave us some 2025 guidance when companies are hesitant to give us 2022 guidance. Where does your conviction come from?
Well, you know, Jim, it's pretty simple, right? We operate in very resilient markets. If you think about defense, we know that there'll be some solid, if modest, growth for the next 5 years. We see what the budgets are, we see what the threat environment is, and we know we've got this backlog of about $150 billion today that gives us confidence. The same on the commercial aerospace side. Traffic is coming back. I think yesterday we saw about 1.8 million people cross the TSA thresholds at the airports. That's about 70% of the way back. So we know people are going to start traveling again, and we're highly confident that by the end of, if not next year, the end of 23, people will be back in the air. They'll be traveling again, and it should be business as usual. And then after that, I think we'll probably see the kind of the normal 5% growth in air traffic that we've seen for the last 60 years. So highly confident because of the markets, because of the backlog, and because of the technology we can bring to bear here.
Now, you were talking about some substantial increases in returning capital to shareholders. Once again, is that just because this company turns out to spew a lot more cash than we thought when you put it together?
No, look, we always knew that we were going to be a cash-generating machine once we got the integration of the two businesses and once we got down to work in terms of taking out structural costs. What we said today is we expect to see by 2025 about $10 billion plus of free cash flow annually. We also told investors today that we're going to return $20 billion plus of capital to them in the first 4 years after the merger. So both of those revisions upward from what we originally thought, but really just demonstrates the confidence we have in the businesses and our ability to deliver.
Well, I read a piece of research this weekend from a very good firm, which pointed out that you are now the country's largest industrial, and people want to own industrials. At the same time, you own two other industrials under the roof of United Technologies. You had Carrier and Otis. From what you said, you thought that if everyone were laser focused, which I know is a cliche on Wall Street, that everybody would do better. That is pretty much exactly what happened, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually it's amazing to see the value that we created by simply spinning out two very wonderful public companies in Otis and Carrier. I think if you look today from where we were a year ago, both of those stocks are up significantly, as is Raytheon Technologies. And again, focus unlocks value because management is not distracted. And I think, again, what Dave Gitlin's doing at Carrier, what Judy Marks is doing at Otis, is exactly that. They're focused on their business and their business only. They don't have to worry about what's going on across the conglomerate where they really don't have a lot of input.
At the same time, had you not merged with Raytheon, the core United Technologies aerospace might have been far more hostage to commercial, and you might have been like some of the other companies that we see in commercial that are, frankly, now serial underperformers.
Yeah, look, it was fortuitous that Raytheon and UTC's aero businesses came together last April. Obviously, we had some very tough actions we had to take last year. We cut about $2 billion plus in costs. We did about $4 billion in cash conservations. And even with that, the two aero businesses, commercial aero businesses, were break even at best last year. So, you know, having the ability and the heft of the combined balance sheets gave us the opportunity to continue to invest through the pandemic. So as we're coming out the other side now, we don't have to rebuild. We have the team in place, we have the technology in place, and we're going to be hitting on all cylinders as the markets come back.
Now let's go over the strategic investments to drive long-term growth with revenue synergy pipeline estimated over $10 billion. You're talking about secure and connected ecosystem, autonomy and artificial intelligence, power and propulsion, precision sensing. These are all, I think, long-term concepts that really don't have some sort of any cyclicality whatsoever.
Well, look, the things that we make, the solutions that we offer, the technologies that we have, they're not something that just comes off the shelf. These are highly engineered, precision engineered systems and solutions that we like to say solve some of our customers' most difficult technological problems. And these are 30-year franchises. You think about the Patriot defense system, 30 years old, being upgraded now for another 30-year run. It's probably got a $35 to $40 billion revenue runway. You've got the long-range strike. You've got the next-generation interceptor. Go on and on. But these are phenomenal technologies that we can offer to our customer a solution that nobody else can.
One last thing. Did I see your work from home? You're going to let people work from 50% work from home? Great. I mean, you're not that much of a work from home guy.
Well, it's funny. I think my dog enjoys me being home a lot more than my wife does. No, look, I think that what this pandemic has shown us in all honesty is that, you know, you can be productive in varying work environments. I still think you have to be in the office occasionally. You have to build social capital. You have to build that team esprit de corps. But you don't have to have an hour commute every single day to be productive. So we're going to give our people flexibility. We've got 32 million square feet of office space across the enterprise today. Our goal is to get rid of about 25% of that to allow people to come to work when they need to. But if you don't need to be at work, if you can work remotely and work efficiently, that's just fine too. So we're going to give people flexibility, and that's going to help a lot in terms of retention as well. As I think about the goals that we have around diversity and trying to keep young women in the workforce, this type of flexibility is absolutely essential.
Wow. You know what? You're the first person who has just laid it out like that. And I think that that's really important because I want people to feel like they don't need to be slaves to the office because maybe they're not going to be as productive in that car 2 hours a day. Not doing anything for you. Anyway, congratulations on a successful investment day and for all the changes that you made, which really did pan out better than you even anticipated. Thank you so much, Greg Hayes.
Thank you, Jim.
Yep, CEO of Raytheon Technologies, RTX, largest industrial. And take a look on a day like today. Even with a great analyst, it held in, even though all the industrials went down. This is the kind of stock you want. Stay with Cramer.
Coming up, join us off the charts and send fear running for cover. Cramer walks through the Valley of the VIX next.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
After last week's roller coaster action, we need to get a better sense of where this market might be headed. That means taking our emotions off the table, consulting the technicals, which is why tonight we're doing a special off the charts with the help of Mark Sebastian. Now, he's a brilliant technician who's the founder of OptionPit.com, as well as being my colleague where I blog at RealMoney.com. Mark's our resident volatility expert, and right now he thinks we could be looking at potentially a meaningful sell-off at some point in the next 2 to 6 weeks. Why? Well, it's all about the CBOE Volatility Index, or the VIX for short, which we know as the fear gauge. Take a look at the pair of charts. This is going to be a little analytic here, but that's all right. Bear with me. S&P 500 versus the Volatility Index. Okay. In a healthy market, these two things tend to move in opposite directions. That makes sense, right? When the S&P goes up, healthy market, right? The VIX is supposed to go down, less fear. And when the S&P goes down, the VIX is supposed to go up, more fear. Anytime that relationship falls apart, it tells you there's something suspect, something lurking about the market's recent trajectory. Now, for the first 3.5 months of the year, the VIX behaved rather normally. We had the roaring stock market, okay, S&P going up, and we had the volatility index slowly and steadily working its way lower. All makes sense. While there were a couple of hiccups, Sebastian says the general trajectory looked pretty good. I like that. But then look what happened since mid-April when the VIX bottomed at 16.25. Now, here's a problem, right? VIX bottoms at 16.25, looking pretty good, right? Sebastian points out we're now looking at a very different trend. So the S&P hit new all-time highs early this month. It's now offensively flat over the last month. Smooth that out, okay? Meanwhile, the volatility index has moved up more than 5 points at the same period of time. So you see the blue line and the flat line, okay? Flat market, rising volatility. That's the current pattern, and for Sebastian, it's not a good sign. A flat market with a rising VIX is exactly what you see at the beginning of what's known as a volatility swell. Let's get these terms up. There are two kinds of situations where the VIX moves higher. First, you've got the garden variety volatility spike, where the market drops, the VIX pops, and then we quickly recover. Signal buying opportunity. Then there's a volatility swell. According to Sebastian, this is when the VIX rises for an extended period of time, usually 2 to 6 weeks, and the market has a genuine correction. That's not a fun experience. You want an example? All right, check out the action In the September, in the S&P 500 and the VIX from last August through last November. All right. Now, that's what we had the last volatility swell. Starting in mid-August, here we go. Starting in mid-August, the S&P up here began to rally alongside the, remember, alongside the S&P, remember, when they both go up at the same time, that tells you the rally is in jeopardy. So this goes up, this goes up. Sure enough, the S&P fell off a cliff. This shouldn't be going up. And the VIX exploded higher. Off a cliff, up higher. After that initial beatdown, we had a series of wild moves until some positive vaccine news in early November gave the market a new lease of life. Okay, so we go up there. But things got really ugly last September and October, so now let's shoot back to this. Unfortunately, the action we're seeing right now reminds Sebastian of what happened early in the volatility swell last August. He thinks a less extreme version, even as the pattern remains the same. Now, look at what's happened over the last month and a half when the S&P rallied from mid-April through the beginning of May. The VIX also moved up from 1625 to 1825. Rally. Very bad sign, right? S&P going up, fear gauge rise in tandem. We're getting used to it, right? That's not good. We then got a big VIX spike, okay, when the market rolled over. That makes sense. And the volatility index has remained pretty elevated since then, including another big jump to 21 at the end of today's trading session. Put it all together, and Sebastian doesn't think we'll precisely repeat what happened from the late last October, from last August to late last October. But given the action in the volatility index, he's betting the meltdown that began on May 10th might not be over. Okay, so now we're talking about this one. This may not be over. In fact, when all is said and done, Sebastian expects the market will test last week's low. Okay, so we can get that. Expect that to go down here. That said, he's also betting that the carnage will be over by July. Until then, though, the bottom line is that the charts, as interpreted by Mark Sebastian, suggest that the next month and a half could be a pretty rough time for the stock market. You may think we're out of the woods, but the fear gauge says otherwise. Definitely something to keep an eye on, although I have to tell you, I expect the days going into Memorial Day to be seasonally strong and make some money on the long side then. David in Arizona. David.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call.
Quite welcome.
The stock I would like your perspective on today is Unity Software, ticker symbol U. Unity reported last week and beat on their earnings and guided revenue growth higher for the year. However, it appears that there is a sector rotation out of tech and growth stocks. Unity has fallen significantly from its 52-week high of around $175 a share and been trading in the high 70s and $80 range recently. Should I add Unity to my portfolio?
Okay, Unity
now
is what I call a Woodstock, a Kathy Wood name. She's been buying it very aggressively. Her ETF for the last 2 days has been very strong. Believe it or not, but this crazy market might allow that company to do well because Kathy's buying it. I know that seems strange. The quarter was very good. It's just that the market, as you quite said, quite correctly said, doesn't like these kinds of stocks. But that said, it's got the Wood blessing for a couple days, probably goes higher. Buckle up. Tonight's chartist thinks we could be in for a little bit of trouble. He says the market could test new lows, but that the carnage will likely be over by July. Now, much more Mad Money ahead. Could diamonds be an investor's best friend? I'm sitting down with the CEO of Signet to find out. Plus, with the accounting noise behind it, is it worth considering Plug Power? I'm talking with the CEO after today's move higher. And all your calls rapid fire in tonight's edition of the Lightning Round. So stay with Cramer. Even in a great market for retailers, some companies stand out. Companies like Signet Jewelers, that's the world's largest retailer of diamond jewelry. You know them as Kay Jewelers, Zales, Jared, Pearson Pagoda. They're big in London. They're big in Canada. After spending years in the doghouse, Signet finally got its house in order and started turning around about a year and a half ago. Then COVID hit and the stock pulled all the way back to $5 and change at the lows. Since then, it's had an incredible run, surging more than tenfold to $62 and change. When Signet held its investor day last month, the company pre-announced some spectacular earnings for the first quarter. Management also raised their full-year forecast. This is a company that's firing on all cylinders, even as its stock pulled back 4% today. But it was like 5, no apparent reason. Tonight, we learned Signet's next step. That's the company's expanding its third-party credit programs with Alliance Data Systems, Genesis Financial Solutions, also to go with a buy now, pay later champion Affirm that we owned last week. So could this thing have more upside? Let's check in with Drina Drosos. She's the bankable CEO of Signet Jewelers. Get a better sense of where her company's headed. Ms. Drosos, welcome back to Mad Money.
Great to be here, Jim. Thank you.
All right, well, Jenna, first, tremendous success with Path to Brilliance. Now we're in Inspiring Brilliance. When I think of Inspiring Brilliance, I have to tell you, I am more impressed of all the things than your with your omni-channel digital program, which for jewelry I didn't even think could exist. And I want you to tell our viewers how you came up with this, because, boy, was it a savior, and it is really, really kicking butt now, even though the pandemic's winding down.
Well, it has gone really well for us, Jim. Before we started the Path to Brilliance transformation, we had only about 5% of our sales in e-commerce. We were behind the jewelry category average at about 15%. And we said we would triple and get at least to the category average through our transformation. We actually did better than that. We got over 20%, even with all stores open in the back half of last year, so quadrupling. And really, big credit to our team. We cracked the code on what it takes to help customers feel comfortable buying jewelry online, which is consultation, getting expert advice. We now have over 700 virtual sellers who are dedicated to doing that, online chat, great technology supporting it. And we also have visualization. Virtual try-on, pictures of our jewelry on people. So customers can tell what they're getting, and I think it's made a big difference.
The other thing, a lot of times I'll deal with these retailers. They'll say, why don't you come up with a company, a division, where you let people wear the stuff, and then they can bring it back whenever, like Rent the Runway. I mean, these companies that then turn out to be worth billions of dollars. This, I love this. We haven't talked together since this Rockbox. I think this sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, thanks. I really believe that we can be a leader in this circular economy. More and more customers, especially Gen Z customers who are right at that self-expression age, leading toward marriage age, so interested ultimately in an engagement ring, they're very interested in recycling and sustainability. And Signet has long been a leader in responsible sourcing, but the acquisition of Rocksbox gives us another way to really reinforce that message.
Well, that reminds me, at the beginning of your call, you talked about India. Are you guys okay there? And what are you doing to help the people who are people who work with you in India?
Well, we're very concerned about our partners there and the safety and health of all of the people who work in those companies, just as we've been very concerned from the beginning. Our number one priority for all of our Signet employees has been their health and safety. We've been partnering with our vendors, getting our orders in earlier, helping them with planning, things that allow them to be more flexible in how they're planning their production cycles, which then allows them to make sure that they're keeping their people safe with social distancing and things like that.
All right, good. Now, I want to go back to the data analytics that people need so that people know that you are not just selling jewelry, you're matching what people might want. Data-driven, data analytics, Amazon Web Services, Accenture, using digital advertising, cutting the budget of TV in half. All these things are happening in real time right now. What are they doing for you?
Well, it's really made us a much more modern company. When I think back 3 years and how different we are today, I'd say there are three key differences. One is our culture. We really have embraced the idea of an agile and efficient culture, so evolving and continuing to improve things in real time. And we're unified by our purpose, which is to inspire love. And what greater purpose could there be than that? We're also much more data-driven in every part of our business. One example is inventory. We've improved our working capital significantly. And in fact, we ended last fiscal year with $1.2 billion in cash, which has given us flexibility to invest, which has been just really fantastic. And the third is what you said, Jim. It's our digital capabilities. And it really is touching every part of our business, from how we communicate with our customers, how we provide them the right content to help them in their decision-making at the right time. So our marketing mix, for sure. But it really also has been creating a great experience for them seamlessly between stores and online.
One last question. I know when we first met, I was very concerned, and you said you'd allay my fears, about the way that credit was offered by Signet, that Signet was too much of a bank, not enough a jeweler. You did announce a multi-year renewal agreement with Alliance Data. You're also working with the firm. A lot of people like buy now, pay later. How do you feel about where the company is just in terms of making so that people can get jewelry at an inexpensive price, and you're a jeweler, and they are people shopping for jewelry?
Well, we've evolved substantially and always with a customer-first mindset. We offer a variety of tools to help customers finance jewelry, pay for jewelry, however they want to, whatever is right for them. We do have Affirm. That's a very modern option, very popular among millennial and Gen Z customers. In fact, 60% of the customers who choose that split pay option, which can be 3, 6, or 12 months, are in that age group. We also announced today the extension and broadening of our strategic partnership with ADS and Genesis for our private label credit card. What this does is really make all of our financing available across all of our different banners, so it's no longer different between Zales and Kay, and also it makes everything available online. It's also really good for investors too, Jim, because extending the strategic partnership gives us stability. And we did it very cost effectively.
Yeah, because we want to focus on all the great things you're doing to please customers. And now we don't have to worry about this. And that's perfect because it's working for you and working for shareholders. Jim Drosos, congratulations on everything you said you would do and then did and then some. CEO of Signet Jewelers. Great work. Good to have you.
Thank you so much.
Unsung and inexpensive. That's Jim Drosos and that's Signet Jewelers. Mad Money's back in the frame.
Just chill out.
Is this Chill Master J?
The Chill Man is in the house. He's happy.
The lightning round is coming up when Mad Money returns.
It is time. It's time for the lightning round. Come on, and then the lightning round is over. Are you ready? Ski Daddy, time for the lightning round. Come on, with Rob. I'm watching Rob.
Yeah, booyah, Jim.
Booyah, Rob.
Number 5 from the Okanagan Highlands.
Excellent.
Hey, this evening I'd like to go ahead and get your input on a company that I've been watching, took a short stake in them, and I'd like to see about Harvard Bioscience.
Harvard HBIO. Bioscience, they had a good quarter, and it's better than expected, and it's not a very low capitalization stock, only $292 billion. I think it's a decent spec, let's put it that way. Let's go to Craig in Kansas. Craig!
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call, Jim. I'm interested in One Oak, OKE, and I'm interested in you if you would think it's worth buying.
I happen to like One Oak. It's one of those. It still almost yields about 7%. They are just a very conservative company. They've done a very good job. The whole complex of pipelines is moving up. Why? Because you don't think that anyone will be allowed to build new pipelines with the new president. So I think you've got a good one there, if not a great one. Ethan in California. Ethan.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
I am good. How about you?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm so excited to be on here. I'm a first-time caller.
Excellent.
So I've recently been buying AML Incorporated. The ticker is POW. This stock kind of piqued my interest because they just recently merged with GunBroker.com.
Right.
Any thoughts?
You know, I got to study this one because the ones that I've been looking at that are bullet-oriented have been pretty good stocks. I like to hunt, so I mean, like, I'm looking at this stuff. Let me come back on that one, though, because that one I'm not familiar with, and I don't want to opine, because maybe, who knows with some of these. Got to really stay close to them. How about Samir in California? Samir.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
And thank you so much for your show. I've been watching it since 2006.
You're terrific. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
My question to you about is Riot Blockchain, ticker symbol RIOT.
Well, Riot Blockchain is just a proxy, frankly, for Bitcoin. MicroStrategy is kind of similar. If you think Bitcoin's going up, you buy Riot Blockchain. If you don't, then you sell Riot Blockchain. I wish there was more to it than that. I have to tell you, because they were currencies, I bought them. I've sold almost all of them, except for my cost basis. So from what it, you know, if you had my, I remember I bought them as a currency. I can't own stocks. You would see that I decided to take the money and run, buy a super duty for my wife and a farm. Not so bad. Let's go to Katie in New York. Katie.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Katie.
I would like to thank you for your help all these years.
You're terrific. Thank you.
I now would like to please know a little bit about Viacom.
People think Viacom because of what's happening with AT&T and Discovery. They feel like something has to happen with Viacom. This is time-honored. All these media people, they just like to chatter so much. It revolts me. I got to tell you, here's what's going to happen with Viacom. And you're just going to struggle. You need another Archegos. We need another darn stupid fund manager who's considered to be brilliant by really rich people because he's rich, who can fool a lot of people to take the stock up to 90 and then get clobbered. And I don't know how many others left recently. least for the next couple of days. Let's go to Keith in Texas. Keith.
Fire!
Wow.
Hey, Jimmy Tills. Thanks so much for taking my call. That's my almost five-year-old Dylan. He watches with me every day.
I like that kid. He's got horse sense.
Hey, with Biden in the White House, I was wondering what you think about Montrose Environmental Group. Hey.
The landfill business has gotten to be a great business again. And I tell you, this is a little speculative, Dean, but I have to say I like the waste business. So I think you're going to do okay. And I like the five-year-old. The kid stays in the picture. Let's go to Mike in New York. Mike.
Booyah, Jimmy Chill.
Yo, chill man here. What's up?
I got a stock for you. It's a gaming accessories company. Trades about 10 times earnings, improved guidance for this year, and engages with their customers better than most companies. The stock ticker is here. The company is Turtle Beach Corp. Wanted to get your thoughts.
Everybody loves Turtle Beach, but I got to tell you, I am so convinced that Logitech is going to do better than Turtle Beach that I am not walking away from LOGI. And that, of course, is Bracken Darrell. He comes on the show and does a great job. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade. Coming up, addressing serious investor concerns, can this company power their way to a clean future? Plug Power joins Cramer next.
Is it finally safe to speculate on the hydrogen fuel cell stocks again? Oh, they've been pummeled. Take Plug Power, which makes fuel cells for forklifts, among other ways to other vehicles, including stationary power. After a very bullish interview last summer, we turned positive on this stock for the first time in years. At the time, it was $9. Then the whole cohort caught fire. Plug Power finished the year at $34 before surging to $75 as part of the speculative mania in late January. Since then, though, Plug Power has plunged back to earth, falling all the way to $27 as of today. Some of that's because Wall Street turned against all the high-flying speculative names. Some of it's also because Plug Power had some accounting issues that delayed the annual report and forced restatements for the past few years of results. Now, you know my rule. Accounting irregularities equals sell. I figured this wouldn't be much of a problem because of its non-cash issue, but it also told you to wait until the coast was clear before circling back. Finally, on Friday, the company restated its results and filed its annual report with only minimal changes. Since then, the stock's rebounded 23%, including a monster 8% run today. So is it time to circle back to this one, or do they already just had the big move as a relief rally? Let's dig deeper with Andy Marsh, the president and CEO of Plug Power, to find out more about what's going on here. Mr. Marsh, welcome back to Mad Money.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim.
Okay, so Andy, you know my rules, and I've communicated them to you both privately and publicly. Accounting irregularities equal sell. Why is this accounting irregularity something that we should not be worried about going forward?
Well, Jim, I think like you, I've taken this accounting irregularity serious. But that being said, the future of this company is extremely bright. The company's going to achieve $475 million in revenue this year. But we're doing that with people like Amazon, Walmart, our JV with Renault, which will get closed by the end of the second quarter, our activities with SK, the second largest conglomerate in South Korea, which invested $1.6 billion in Plug Power. Now, the future's quite bright, Jim, and that's what I think separates Plug Power. I take what happened serious, but I understand that the company continues to move forward, and nothing has changed over the expectations we've had for the company today and tomorrow.
But there was an audit issue. The auditor from KPMG did not approve of what KPMG previously had approved. So how did you get that aligned with KPMG and the SEC so that there was no cash outlay? It was not like your cash diminished and you're able to file in what I think was a pretty short period of time, having known what these things are like.
Well, Jim, when we worked with the auditors, we made sure we worked closely to make sure all the issues were identified. Our accounting team worked with them. We're strengthening our accounting team so they can never happen again. And we kept close touch with the SEC to make sure they were aware of what we were working on.
All right. Now, I got to point this one out. March 28th, Wall Street Journal talks about how you had 3 years of sales with Amazon and essentially gave away all your product and had the equivalent of negative sales, less than zero. Correct analysis of what occurred?
Well, Jim, I think you have to look at, ironically, if the stock price would have stayed down, we wouldn't have had the huge Amazon warrant write-offs. It's been our success. And the warrants were a zero cash issue. And on a gross billings issue, gross billings for 2020, we achieved over $235 million. And by clearing the Amazon warrants out, our income statements become much easier to read in the future,
okay,
including 2021, the first quarter.
Very good. Now, you were supposed to be in South Korea today. Is there anything wrong with South Korea?
My COVID test was not accepted at the airport, so I had a delay. So I've been on the working the phones with South Korea over the last 2 days.
Gotcha.
I plan to go there in the near future.
Federal loan guarantee, big for you?
Federal loan guarantee will be very helpful in building out our green hydrogen plants. We'll have two operating by the end of 2022, and we've identified three locations. And the federal loan guarantee will help us grow more rapidly and even build more plants.
The Renault deal, possibility that you could have up to 20% of this market for smaller vehicles in Europe?
I think the number you have is low, Jim. Renault is saying 30%.
All right. Wow, that is very aggressive. Let's hope you get that. Replace diesel generators, standalone prospects?
We're 400 megawatts by 2025 with SK in South Korea. Lots going on here in the state with data centers.
Size of this Niagara Falls plant?
45 tons a day. Jim, that's the equivalent to 90,000 gallons of gasoline. It'll be the largest green hydrogen plant in the world.
10 prospects, 10 new customers rather soon?
10 new customers rather soon. I expect you'll be hearing more announcements during the year.
With Department of Energy and Biden's help, possibility of subsidies that would make it so that you are cheaper than gasoline.
Oh, you know, there's the Heinrich bill that's in from New Mexico, $3 kilogram credit, which is equivalent to 2 gallons of gasoline for green hydrogen. Similar activities, bills by Carper, markups in Ways and Means, Biden Build Back Better, all support green hydrogen.
All right, Andy, look, I'm glad you came on. A gentleman does come on like you did. You got that solved, and then I gave all the good things that are happening because you know how much I believe in green hydrogen, and you are the king of green hydrogen in this country. Andy Marsh, Plug Power President and CEO, thank you for coming on Mad Money.
Thanks, Jim.
Good to see you. All right, I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise I'll try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.